Okay, Tov, and welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shiurim and Daf Yomi. Today we have a relatively long piece to do, which will be two dapim, and we'll start with the Mishnah on Kuf Tet Amud Aleph at the bottom. Shnei achin nesuin l'shtei achayot ktanot. We have two brothers who are married to two sisters who are ktanot. And when we say ktanot, in this Mishnah and the next, throughout this Shiur, we're referring to girls who are married by their mother or by their brothers. In other words, the father's not in the picture, and the kiddushin are kiddushin miyun. Umei pala shel achat mehen. All right, so one of them dies. Halazut etzei mishum achot isha. The other sister has to leave because she is achot isha of the one who fell bezika. V'chein shtei chershot. And the same rule applies if two brothers are married to two sisters who are deaf mutes. We'll see what kind of deaf mutes we're talking about, whether they're always deaf mutes, became deaf mutes, but in any case, as we will see later on in Masechet, there is a special Kiddushin, Kiddushin Durabanan, Kiddushin Remiza for deaf mutes. Now, G'dola U'Ktana, let's say that one of the sisters is an adult and the other is a Ktana. Meipa Lash U'Ktana, so if the husband of the Ktana died, then Tetzei U'Ktana Mishum Achotisha, that's very simple. She is Patur Achotisha. Meit ba'alah shel gdola, but if on the other hand the husband of the gdola left, so now what do you have? You have one husband who's got a wife presently who's a ktana, kiddushei ktana, and a gdola falls to him. So now, Rabbi Eliezer, remember, l'mdim ta ktanash t'mayinbo. We coach the ktana to do miyun, and then he could do yibum on the gdola because he was never married to the ktana. Megamliel omer, we've seen Megamliel several times in the Masechet, im miyana miyana, if she wants to do miyun, that's fine. Vim lav tamtinach tagdil, we wait, we don't do anything until the young one becomes of age. And then the older one then is now exempted as a chotisha. Rabbi Shua omer, oilo al ishto, oilo al ishto achiv. Rabbi Shua says he loses on both ends. Motziat ishto, beget veishat achiv b'chalitza. He has to divorce his wife, and then he has to give chalitza to the older one. Okay, so now, let's first look at the issue of coaching. We're going to deal basically with the last case, which occupies most of the Mishnah, which is where, according to Rabbi Eliezer, we coach the girl to be b'mayin. Umishari, since when are you allowed to coach miyun? A person should always cleave to adopt three behaviors and distance himself from three other things. What should he stay close to? B'chalitza. Chalitza is a good thing to coach, and we'll see why. Uvahavat shalom. Try to bring peace between people. Ufafarat and darim. Any opportunity you have to repudiate a netter, that's good. You should distance yourself with three things. Min ha-mi'un, from coaching a girl to do mi'un. Umin ha-pikdonot, accepting bails, accepting things that you're watching. Umin ha-arvonot, meaning being a guarantor. We'll see why about all these things. The short answer is mi'un de-mitzvah shani. Here, you're right, mi'un normally is a bad idea. But here, miyun is preferred because it's allowing him to now do proper yibum. Now, gufa, let's see this. Why chalitza? Ke Abba Shaul. We've seen Abba Shaul's opinion already. If a man marries his yivama because she's beautiful or because he wants to be married in general, or for some other reason, because of money, kila pogea be'erva. He says, it's almost as if he's violating the erva of Eshtachiv. Karov me'inai liyot avlad mamzer. And I consider the child of that union to be close to a mamzer. And so B'shaul thought, unless you're marrying L'shem Shamayim, it really is not valid yibum. Good, so therefore he said a person should prefer and coach chalitza. B'havat shalom, why that? Tichtiv, b'kei shalom v'rod feyu. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, seek peace and chase after it. The term to chase after, we chase after peace, and we find the following. Somebody who chases after, and so now we're going to throw in peace into the mix because the Pasuk in Tehillim, will find good life. Why is a farad darim a good thing to cleave to? If somebody makes a neder, it's almost as if they built a bama. Not necessarily bama for idol worship, but an inappropriate worship site. But somebody who fulfills their neder, it's like they're creating their own religion. And he brought a korban on a bama. Therefore, repudiating a neder and distancing oneself and one's family from nedarim is a good thing. What are the three things you should stay away from? So the first is miyun. That's how we got here. Minamiyunin. Why? Bilma gala umichataba. Maybe she'll get older, and then she'll be really regret the fact that they coached her to do miyun against a guy that she realized would have been a good guy for her to stay with. Mina piktonot. When is that? Bibamata. It's only talking about somebody who lives in your town. Debaite kibaite dami. Your house looks like his house, so he'll feel very comfortable coming into your house. He'll come into your house and he'll take the pikadon, and then he'll turn around and sue you for his pikadon, which is now missing. Min ha'eravon. Why? The ba'ar ve'shaltzion. This is talking about a particular kind of guarantor that they automatically allow the lender to go after the cosigner even before he goes to the borrower. It's like my dichtiv. The pasuk says ra yeroa ki aravzar. When you are being a guarantor for a stranger, you bring lots of evil on yourself. What's that? Ra'a achar ra'a. Evil, one evil after another. Tavol makablei gerim. One of the people alluded to in this pasuk is somebody who accepts gerim. Evidently accepts gerim, meaning a little bit loosely. And the idea is that you're also being a guarantor for a stranger. Ula'arve shaltzion. This kind of guarantee that we talked about, where you collect first from the guarantor. Ulatokea atzmo l'dvar halacha. That's the third thing, is somebody who sticks himself firmly on a dvar halacha. We'll see what that means. Mekabel gerim, what is that? Rabbi Chelbo, Dam Rabbi Chelbo, kashim gerim l'Yisrael kesapachat ba'or. Gerim are as bad as one of the signs of leprosy on Am Yisrael. Arve shaltzion, why? The avdi shlof dots. Why are they called shaltzion? Because they shlof and they dots. They push one away and put the other one in his place. Meaning they push the borrower away and take the guarantor. And it's a kind of custom in some places to do that, but it's a very bad practice to sign on to such a thing. Why? What does that mean? The Tan Rabbi Yosef Mer, Kol Omer Ein Lo Torah, Ein Lo Torah. Somebody who says, I don't have Torah, doesn't have Torah. Well, that's kind of easy. Pshita. Ela Kol Omer Ein Lo Ela Torah. If somebody says, all I have is Torah, Ein Lo Ela Torah, that's all he has. Zepananu Pshita, that's also true. That's exactly what he said. The idea is somebody who sticks himself and says, all I have is Torah, doesn't even have Torah. Meaning, if all I have is study, and I don't practice, even Torah doesn't have my time. I'm a papa, I'm a cry, because the pasuk says, ulmadetem otam ushvartem lasotam, vasitem, etc. Kol sheyeshno masiyah yeshno belimida. Anybody who performs, so we consider his learning to be learning. Kol sheyeshno masiyah yeshno belimida. But somebody who doesn't perform what he studies, his study is not considered study. So if somebody, so according to this, tokeatzmo ledvar halacha, is somebody who firmly plants himself in and says, I'm a learner. I'm not a doer. I'm a learner. So even his learning he doesn't have. All right, that's a possibility one. It could be our original version. What does that mean? If he says, I only have Torah, he only has Torah. What does that mean? Even though he teaches others and they go and perform it, I might think that he has a schar also because of his teaching. They went and taught it. Kamash Milan, that if all he says, I just teach, then all he gets is schar for teaching or for learning. Means something else. We're talking here about somebody who sticks himself firmly on a dvar halacha, meaning a dayan who has a judge, a case coming for him. He has already learned the halacha. Not that halacha, but he's learned a parallel halacha, and he's by analogy, he comes to a conclusion. His Rebbe is available, and he doesn't come and ask him, this is what I think, but in practice, how should I rule? And he somewhat cavalierly rules. Dayan should always see himself when he's judging as if a sword is resting between his thighs. And in front of him, Geinom is opened. In other words, he should be great trepidation that he should adopt when he is judging. Shenemar the pasuk shenemit tatoish lishlamo shishim giborim savivla mi gibori Yisrael kulam achuzi cherv nubnei mochama mipachar balelot. They're all holding swords because they're afraid of the nighttime. Who are these giborim? So we understand these giborim are the Sanhedrin or the Dayanim. What's the pachat balelot, the fear of night? Ipachat shel gehinom shedomel laila, the fear of gehinom, which is like nighttime. Now, just to wrap this piece up, we said that there is a pasuk in Mishle, ra yeroa ki aravzar. We said this refers to three things. One of them is this bad kind of eravon. The other one is people who accept gerim somewhat loosely, And again, that's Arav Zar. And then the third one is HaTokei Atzmo L'Dvar Halacha. All right, what is Tokei Atzmo L'Dvar Halacha? So we had three explanations. One explanation is somebody who says, all I have is Torah. He doesn't even have Torah because he doesn't fulfill it. In other words, he sticks himself onto Dvar Halacha, right, and says, this is all I have, but at least I have this. The other one is that if he says, all I have is Torah, and we might think that he still gets the reward of the actions done by his students who he taught. The answer is no, all he has is exactly what he stated. And the third one is that he stubbornly sticks to his own take on a particular halacha without checking with his Rebbe if it's correct. Good. Okay, now the next piece to the Mishnah was Rabbi Gamliel's advice. Rabbi Gamliel's advice was that if the young sister does miyun, fine, and if not, when she gets old, the other one leaves as a chotisha. Good. So Rabbi Lazar asked Rav, my Talmid Rabbi Gamliel, why does Rabbi Gamliel say that we wait until the younger one becomes of age, and then automatically the older one goes out? Two possibilities. Mishum de kasava kidushek tana mitlatalu. Maybe because kidushek tana are hanging in the balance. The chigavla gavli bahada. And when she grows up, the kidushin grow mature with her, as it were. So then there's no need for him to reconsummate the marriage after she's a gedola. The minute she becomes of age, the kiddushin mature with her. That's possibility one. Perhaps he holds that if somebody gives kiddushin to the sister of his yivama, the zika gets broken. In other words, it's somewhat of a revolutionary approach to say, normally we assume that when somebody falls to you and she's prohibited to you because you're already married or betrothed to her sister, for instance, so there's no zika. But say she already fell to you and then you give kiddushin, to say that that breaks the zika, that's somewhat innovative. So perhaps that's his approach, which means that really the kiddushin tana are nothing. But when she becomes of age and then he reconsummates the marriage through the next bia, it's almost like having a new kiddushin, and then the yavama who was hanging around suddenly gets busted. So then, in that case, there's a big difference. I ba'alin, ilo ba'alo. It's only if he has bia with her. In other words, according to the first explanation, if he waits till she becomes an adult, the minute she becomes an adult, the other one can go marry somebody else. But in the second approach, we have to wait until he has bia with her again after she's an adult, and then the sister can go off. By the way, another difference between the two approaches is that according to the first approach, we have no indication that if somebody's fallen to you, you have any heter to go and be mekadesh, or relative. But in the second one, it says not only you can, but it busts the zika. Good. Okay, so that was the question to Rav. Amarle, so Rav answered, he takes the second explanation, which means he has to have bia. So now, this is a report that we heard in the name of Rav. I'm Rav Sheshet. So Rav Sheshet, then commenting on this, said, Amina, I thought, he must have been very sleepy when he said this. In other words, he's challenging and saying it must be the first explanation, which is that kiddushim grow up with you. The Tanya Makadesh Taktana, Kiddushat Tluyin. The Rebbeitan that says, when you Makadesh Taktana, again, this kiddushim yun, the kiddushim are hanging in the balance. So my tluyin, what does that mean? Lav ki gavla gavli bahada, doesn't it mean that they grow up with her? V'afagav de lobal, even if he didn't have bia with her? So Amar Avin, Brei Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman's son answered to Rav Sheshet, no, hamiltek diktana mit latalyu akaima, means the kiddushek tan are hanging. Ibaalin, ilo baalo, it means they're hanging until he has bia with her as a gedola. Why? Da Amra, why are they hanging? Hu adif minoi v'ana adifna minei. We both have power here. Because he could divorce me, on the other hand, I could do miyun on him, and that's all true until they have bia, after she's a gedola, and then that dissipates. So in other words, the idea of tluyin is not so much that they're hanging in the balance as much as there's a balance to the relationship, which then finally gets removed with the first bia after she's a gedola. Good. So now, Rav, therefore, we've now defended the report of Rav, that Rav holds the second explanation to be true, which is that a man may be Mekadesh, a relative of a sister, let's say, of his Yivama, and that will destroy the Zika, and therefore he has to have bia with this young girl after she's become of age, and then the Zika is busted. Now, the Sava Ravi Baal Ilo Baalo, is that really true that Rav said only if he has bia with her is it busted? We have the following case. A Ktana that doesn't do Miyun, she became of age, she grew up, she then got married to another guy. Rav Amar Yatzricha Get Misheni. Rav says she doesn't need a get from the second guy. In other words, we don't consider those to be even Suffolk Kiddushin. They're nothing, because for sure, once she became of age with the first guy, she's married to him. Shmuel Amar Tzricha Get Misheni, and Shmuel disagreed and said, no, you do need to get from the second guy. Now, my love to Labal, aren't we talking about a case where there was not yet any Bia, and nonetheless, Rav says that as long as she was with him after she was an adult, she's already married to him, and the second thing is nothing? Lo, Dabal, we're talking about a case where the guy had Bia with her. She became of age, they lived together as man and wife, and then she erroneously took Nisuin from somebody else. Rav says that's nothing. So, Yidabal, my Tamid Shmuel. So, if the guy already had Bia with her after she was an adult, then why would Shmuel possibly say that she does need to get from the second guy? It's obvious that the second guy's act is nothing. The answer is, Kesavar Kol HaBoel, Adad Kiddushin Rishonim Hu Boel. That Shmuel has an approach, which he says, anytime somebody has Bia, he's always having Bia based on the original Kiddushin. Which means that, according to Shmuel, we have kind of a strange Metziut, that if a guy had Kiddushin Ketana, even though he continues to have Bia with her throughout their life, it continues to be Bia that's based on that original Kiddushin, which means there's always, not the possibility of Miyun, but the Kiddushin will always be weak, such that if somebody else gives her Kiddushin, he needs to give her a get, just to ensure that those Kiddushin are not valid. Now, v'hapligi b'charazim, now this machloket, about Boel, adad Kiddushin Rishonim, is a machloket that we've already have recorded. De'idmar, kitcha al-tanai v'kin sastam. Let's say a guy was Makadish, a girl, al-tanai, on condition that she doesn't have a particular warts, or that she's going to give 200 zuz, or whatever it is, and then he marries her without stipulating or re-stipulating the condition. Rav amar tzrichai menu get. Rav says it's valid Kiddushin, and if they want to get divorced, they need to get. Shmuel amar eina tzrichai menu get. Shmuel says, no, there's nothing here. Right? Rav amar tzrichai get him menu get. Why? Kevin denaspa, once he marries her, achulei achulei tanai. Obviously, he has foregone the tanai. He's mochel the tanai. And therefore, the Nisuin are 100% create a 100% marriage, and if he wants to separate, they have to need a divorce. Shmuel Amar Ein Tzrichim Menu Get. Why? Because Kol HaBoel Adad Kiddushin Rishonim Hu Boel. When he has marriage with her after, when he marries her afterwards, and has Bia, that Bia is all based on the original condition, and if that original condition doesn't come to fruition, isn't fulfilled, then the whole thing falls down. So we see that Shmuel and Rav already had the machloket about whether Bia is a new act or is based upon the old status. So Tzricha, the answer is we need the machloket in both places. Why deet ma'ahi, if we only had this last case, so then by he come around, sorry, in our case, then by he come around, I understand why, sorry, in this case, if when the guy's Makadish al Tanai, I understand why Rav would say that you need a get, and the Bia is a new act. Mishum de'ika Tanai, there was a Tanai. The guy actively had Bia with her after that he already knew there was a Tanai. He seems to be saying, I don't care about the Tanai anymore. But in our case, where there was no such thing, I might think that he agrees with Shmuel that he's just continuing to live with her, and perhaps that Bia still kicks back to the original Kiddushin. V'itmar b'ha, and if I only had the case of, our case of Ektana, b'ha kamar Shmuel, b'ha ima modele rav tzricha. So I just flip it around and say, yeah, Shmuel says there, it's al dag rishona, because they had originally Kiddushin, but now, in this case, I might think that he agreed that the fact that he had Bia with her, after the Tanai, he said he's clearly Machal the Tanai, so therefore Tzricha, we need both Machlokot to be explicated. Now, Umi Amar Rav Kibal Inilo Balo, we go back to our original question, which is, since when did Rav say that only if he has Bia with her do the Kiddush Ektana now become full, and if not? There's a story that happened in the town of Nersh in Bavel. The Ikdisha Chiktana, a girl had Kiddushin when she was Ektana. The Gadla Va'otve Abe Kursaya. She became older and they put her in a chuppah. Va'ata Achrina V'chatfa Minei. And a fellow came along and grabbed the girl and took off with her. Rav Bruna Rav Hanan El Tamini De Rav Habu Hatam. These two great students of Rav were there. And they finally got the girl back. Va'otzuchu Agita Mibatra. The fellow gave her Kiddushin. The other fellow grabbed her. And they said, you don't need to get. What he did is meaningless because this girl's already fully married. I'm her papa, so obviously, and these are students of Rav who said this, therefore, or who didn't require a get, therefore we assume that Rav holds that once a girl reaches age and she's still married to the guy, even if they didn't have Bia after that point, because here she's putting in the chuppah, which is before Bia, that nonetheless they're fully married. And therefore the second guy's grabbing is meaningless. I'm her papa, b'nersh means sub desivio hadar motvi abe kursaya. But Papa says you have to know that the custom in the town of Nersh was that they would first get married and consummate the marriage, and then they'd have the chuppah, which means this girl had already had Bia, and that's why Rav's student said, this other guy's doing nothing. Get the girl back to her husband and leave him alone. Rav Ashi Amar, who asked Shalogan? Rav Ashi disagrees. He says, no, really, this girl was not yet consummated the marriage. And Rashi Amar, Hu Asa Shelo Kohagin. Here's what happened. This fellow behaved very inappropriately. He went up to a chuppah where a girl was about to get married. He grabs the girl and he forces her, convinces her to have take his kedushin. Leficha chasubo shelo kohagin. Therefore, we mistreated him. In other words, we used our Beit Din's discretion in order to remove the kedushin that really theoretically would have been valid. In other words, Rav's students theoretically here would have said, "Yeah, you need to give her a get, but we're going to take these kedushin away from you." Afkinu rabbanon the kedushin minan. Rabbanon uprooted the kedushin. So Ravina said to Rashi, this is a famous sugya, shows up several times in Shas, Tenav to Kaddish Bekas, but this only works, I understand, if the original Kiddushin, that second guy, the bad guy, gave her Rabbi Kesef, because the way that the Iker Rashi is, and the way we generally read it is, because after all, Hefker Beit Din Hefker, the Beit Din can say, the money that you gave her for Kiddushin, we're redefining it as a gift. But Kaddish B'Biyamai, what if a guy's Mekaddish B'Biyah, how can the Rabbanon uproot that? So the answer is, Shavu Rabbanon, Bila Tobi Latznut. The Rabbanon are willing to say that Bia that you have, L'Shem Kiddushin, we're redefining it as Bia Tznut, and therefore it's meaningless, and therefore your Kiddushin are meaningless. Alright, I'm Rabbi Yonamar Shmua, Halachak Rabbi Eliezer, Mechenam Rabbi Elazar, the student of Rav, Halachak Rabbi Eliezer. The Halacha follows Rabbi Eliezer, which is that we coach the young girl to do Miyun, and by that, the older girl can have Yibum. And the Halacha is not like Rabbi Gamliel, in which we allow things to play out and see what she does.
The next Mishnah, which where we are, which is in Kuf Yod Amud Aleph, Misha Nasui L'Shtei Yitomot K'tanot Umeit. So the fellow is married to two, again, two of these are two Yitomot, and then the fellow dies. Obviously, these girls are not sisters, but he's married to the two girls, and he dies. So now, Biatah Cholitzak Tash Alachan Mem Poteret Sarata. These, of course, are ktanot, meaning that they're married as, by the mother. So the bia of either one of them, or chalitz of either one of them, by his brother, will exempt the other one. In other words, they're of an equal status. V'chein shtei chershot, the same is true if you have two deaf mutes. Now, ktana v'chereshet, let's say you have one girl is a ktana, and the other one's adult, but she's chereshet. Ein biat achat min poteret sarata. The bia of either one of them will not exempt the other one, nor will the chalitza. We'll have to see what to do, because we will see that doing chalitza on both of them is also going to be problematic. Good. Pikachad v'chereshet. Let's say that you have two adult women, but one of them is able and the other is a deaf mute. Biatam pikachat poteret achereshet. The bia or the chalitza of the able one exempts the chereshet. V'ein biat achereshet poteret apikachat, but not the opposite. Let's say you have two girls. One of them is 14 and the other is 10. Biata, and again, they're both, one of the 10-year-old at least is married by the mother. Biata gdola poterata ktana. So the bia of the older one exempts the younger one. Vein biata ktana poterata gdola, but not the inverse. All right, so we basically have three kind of status situations. Situation one is where they're of an equal status. Situation three is where one is able and one is competent, one is of diminished capacity. And then the middle case is where they're both of diminished capacity, but of different kinds. So let's see how they play out. The first question is, chereshet bar chalitzahi, since when can a chereshet do chalitza? Because we said if you have two chereshot, the chalitza that one does exempts the other one. Vatnan chereshet nechlatz, we had this earlier. If you have a cheresh who has his shoe taken off, or a cheresh who takes the shoe off, or a woman does chalitza and the man is a katan, chalitza tapsula. So you see that a cheresh can't do chalitza. So how could she be in here? So Rav says it's only talking about bia. In other words, if you have two chereshot, then if you give bia to one, then the other one is exempt, and that first one is yivama. But you're right, chalitza wouldn't work. That is Rav. Rava, and it may turn out to be Rabba Amar, Afilu Tema Chalitza. He said, no, it could even be Chalitza. And now he makes a distinction, and this will be the focus of the next Amud. Kan b'chereshet mi'ikara, kan b'pikachat v'charkach nitcharsha. If you have a girl who was always a deaf mute, then indeed the Chalitza, strange enough, is going to work. But somebody who was able, and then after she was married, she became a chereshet, meaning a full deaf mute, then it won't work. Let's see. Chereshet mi'ikara, the one who was always a chereshet, the way that she came in, which was by kiddushin derabbanan, because she was not capable of accepting full kiddushin, So she's able to leave with the same thing. In other words, we're going to give her minimal kedushin, so minimal chalitza will be enough. And since if both girls are chershot meikara, then one of their chalitza is just as good as the other ones would be, so one will exempt the other. Pikachar v'charkach nitchar shalom, but one who was able when she got married and then became a chereshet, no. Why? Dem'akva bakriya. Because the, why is a chereshet invalid for chalitza? We already saw this in the 12th parak, because she can't do the recitation. And the recitation, even though if you don't do the recitation, it's valid, as we said, it's the din of Rabzeir of Bila, that the lack of recitation is something which only if you're not capable of doing it is ma'akev. Good. So now, if she's a pikacha, then she married fully, which means she needs a full chalitza, and she can't do a full chalitza. Now, etavei Abaye. Abaye challenged him. The chereshet meikar bat chalitza hi? Since when could a girl who was always a chereshet participate in chalitza at all? Vatanan, we have the following Mishnah. Shnei achin, achad pikach v'chad cheresh. Let's keep this sharp. Two brothers, one is Abel and one is cheresh. Nisuin shtei nechriyot. They're married to two girls, not married to each other, not related to each other. Achad pikach v'chad cheresh. So the Abel man is married to the Abel woman. The cheresh is married to the cheresh. Meit cheresh bal chereshet. So the deaf mute dies. What does the capable guy do? Kones. He can only marry the chereshet. And then if he wants to give her a get, he can give her a get. But he can't do chalitza. Mate pikach bal pikachat. What if the able guy dies, which means now you've got a cheresh and a pikachat fell to him? Mayase cheresh bal cheresh. What should the mute guy do? Kones v'enam otzil le'olam. The only thing he can do is to do yibum, and he can never divorce her. Now, my love a chereshet mikara, aren't we talking about somebody who was always a chereshet, uktani kones in, and we said he can marry her, choletzlo, but chalitza is not an option, which means you can't give chalitza to somebody who even though she was always a chereshet, lo, pikachat v'charkach nitchasha, we're talking about somebody who was a pikachat, and then became a chasha. That's the case here. All right, that's how Rambam would answer it, and say, no, when do we say that chalitza is not an option when she was originally pikacha. Toshma, shnei achin pikchin, nisuin shtei nochriot. So you got two capable, able guys who are married to two women who are not related to each other. Achat pikacha v'achat chereshet. One of the two is pikeach, is able, the other one is deaf mute. Meit pikeach bal chereshet. Alright, so now, the guy who's married to the chereshet dies. Maya said pikeach bal pikachat. What should the pikeach, whose Yivam, who fell to him as a chereshet, do? The answer is kones v'mratzal otziotzi. He must marry her, must do Yibum. If he wants to divorce her, he can divorce her. May pikeach bal pikachat, but if the pikeach, who's married to the pikachat, dies, mayasa pikeach bal chereshet, well, this is easy. A pikachat fell to a pikeach, ocholetzo miyabem. That part's easy. But the first part is what we care about. May la midu pikeach mikara. Aren't we comparing all these cases and comparing all these people and saying, just like this guy is a pikeach, has always been a pikeach, obviously, he na mi chereshet mikara, so aren't we dealing with people whose status has always been the way that it was? He's always been a pikeach. She's always been a chereshet. Uktani kones in choletzlo, and you see that he can marry, but he can't do chalitza. So midiirya, who said? Hakirita v'hakirita. Maybe the pikeach has always been a pikeach, and the chereshet hasn't always been a chereshet. So Eitavei, Abaye continues to challenge. Shnei achin, chad pikeach v'chad cheresh. You got two brothers. One is a pikeach, one is a cheresh. Nesuin shtei achayot. Right? And they're married to two sisters. Chad pikeach v'chad chereshet. Right? So again, you have, but now what we've added is their brothers married to sisters. And you have a cheresh married to a chereshet and a pikeach married to a pikeach. Maya said pikeach, I made cheresh bal chereshet. So the deaf mute dies. So what should the pikeach, who now his wife's sister, who's a chereshet, falls to him? What happens? That's easy. She's exempt because she's a chotisha. The trick is going to be the opposite way. Let's say the pikeach died. So now what happened? His brother, who's a cheresh, is married to a chereshet with kiddushin that are weak. And now a pikachat, which comes from a much stronger marriage, which is his brother's marriage, falls to him. So the answer is motziat ishto beget. Right, he has to divorce his own wife because she now is achod zukukato. Ve'eshet achiv asura le'olam, and the other, the sister, is the one who fell to him. He can never marry. All right, in other words, there's no option of chalitza. You're going to tell me that's again a case of pikeach v'charkach nitcharesh mimatzi mapik. Since when, in the first case that ishto, which is the chereshet, if she's a pikeach, if he is a cheresh and he's a pikeach v'charkach nitcharesh, since when can he divorce her? If a woman becomes a deaf mute while they're married, he can still divorce her. If she becomes an imbecile, he can't divorce her because she doesn't even know how to leave. But if he becomes either one of those, he can never do a divorce. Which means if a man married a woman when he was a pikeach, then he became a cheresh, he can't divorce her. And in the case that we were talking about, we said that if the pikeach, while pikeach had died, the cheresh has to divorce his own wife. But if you're going to say this is a cheresh who was originally a pikeach and became a cheresh, that's what we're trying to describe all the cheshim here to save Rabba, then how is he able to do divorce at all? Allah cheresh mikara. It must be that this cheresh, the two brothers, was always a cheresh, which is why he can divorce, because his original marriages were all were weaker marriages. Umidahu cheresh mikara. Since he was originally a cheresh, you know, mi cheresh mikara. So it must be that the chereshet we described there is all the time a chereshet, not somebody who became a chereshet. Now the reason this is a stronger proof than the earlier one is because in the earlier case we did not have a cheresh opposite a chereshet that we were trying to describe in particular terms, and we cared who the cheresh was. But now we do care that this is a cheresh this has to be a cheresh meikara, somebody who was always a cheresh. And the Mishnah would not use the parallel terms of cheresh and chereshet, where one of them has to be a cheresh mikara, and the other one has to be a chereshet that became a chereshet later, without explicating. Umidachayot chereshot mikara, since the sisters are chereshot from originally, so nochriyot nami chereshot mikara. Then the case where they're not sisters, that we talked about earlier, is also talking about a case where they were always chereshot. It's non-gabe nochriyot, and in the case of the non-sisters, we said, kones, he marries, he can marry, but he cannot give chalitza. So this was Abaye's challenge to Rabba. Rabba kept defeating and saying, no, but that's talking about a case where but here he ran into a case where he had to say, I agree with you. This is talking about somebody who was cheresh from always, was always a cheresh, and nonetheless, we don't give chalitza as an option. Rabba ishtik, Rabba said nothing. So now, Abaye, kiatal kamed Rav Yosef, he came to Rav Yosef, and he said, this is what happened. I told Rabba, made the following distinction of a pikachat v'charkach nitchasha cannot do chalitza, but a chareshet mi'ikara can do chalitza, and I showed him that even a chareshet mi'ikara cannot do chalitza, and I reported to Rav Yosef. Amarles, Rav Yosef said to Abaye, my tama taught them mihai. Why did you use that as the challenge? Because he could have answered you, achayot chareshot mi'ikara, nachriyot pikachat v'charkach nitchasha. He could have answered you as he answered before. That just because the case of the two sisters is talking about a case where they were always chershot, maybe the case of the two non-sisters who were married to the two brothers is talking about pikachot became nitchashu. Who said that they're the same? Abaye, this is what you should have used. You have two brothers who are chershin, married to two sisters who are pikachot. Or two sisters who are chershot. Or shtei achayot, achad pikach v'achad chereshet. Or even one and one. Or two sisters are chershot, married to either two capable brothers, or shneachin chershin, or two deaf brothers, or shneachin achad pikach achad cheresh. It was every possible mix, where you have two brothers married to two sisters, and any permutation of cheresh and pikach there, as long as either the two sisters or the two brothers, in either case, are chershim or chershot, and then the opposite number can be either both chershim, both pikchot, pikchim, or one of each. And what happens? They are potter. But if, let's say, these two sisters were not related to each other, then when one brother dies, the other brother can marry her. Then they can divorce them. So, hey chidami, ilam pikchim lasof nitchashu. Could this be talking about people who were originally pikach and then became cheresh? In Matzimavki, we already saw it. We already saw this just a couple lines ago, that if a man becomes a cheresh during the course of the marriage, he can never divorce her, because the marriage was a full door right to marriage. He doesn't have the capability of breaking that. So therefore, if this guy is able to divorce this girl, it must be that he is a cheresh mikara. Alava cheresh mikara. Midhein cheresh mikara. Just since the men in this case, the brothers in this case, are cheresh mikara, inanami cheresh mikara, then women must also be cheshet mikara. Uktanim hayuno chriyot yichnosu. And it said, if they're not sisters to each other, then the brothers, one brother can be kones the other one. And if he wants to divorce her, he can. Yichnosu in yichaltsu lo. It only says he can do yibum, he cannot do chalitza. So tiyufta de rabba, so rabba or rava, depending on the girsa, has been disproven in his claim that somebody who was a cheshet mikara may perform chalitza. He has finally been disproven. And Rav Yosef said, Abai, your proof wasn't strong, but here's a proof of a case that absolutely must be talking about somebody who was a cheresh mikara. That's why he's able to give a divorce, because his original marriage was a weak marriage, and therefore Rav has been disproven.
Good.
Now, the case of ktana v'chereshet, right, where we have the back in our Mishnah, where two are married, a man is married to two girls, and they are both of diminished capacity. One's a ktana, and the other is a cheresht, said that there's no that one's bia or chalitza is not going to solve the is not going to release the other. Amar Nachman, Ashkachte l'Rav Ada Bar Ava l'Rav Chana Chatane. I met Rav Ada Bar Ava and Rav Chana his son-in-law. The other v'kamak v'akavata b'shuka b'umadita. They were gathering groups in the shuka b'umadita to teach them. V'yamri, and they said the following: Hadin nanek tanav chereshit en bia tachad men poteret zarata our Mishnah. They said that's only if the brother who died was a pikeach. Why? It's a strange notion, but we say we don't know which one he actually preferred as a wife. Why? Perhaps he preferred the ktana. She'll grow up and she'll become a woman that I can feel comfortable married to. Right? But right now she's not. Perhaps he enjoys the chereshet, because right now she's already of age. Somebody I can have relations with. Right. But if the brother who died was a cheresh, certainly he'd prefer the chereshet. Debat biyahi, because he can have relations with her. Ubat minehu, he's his type. She's his type. So that's what they thought, which means they thought that if the brother who died was a cheresh, then giving the yibum or chalitza to the chereshet would exempt the ktana whose kiddushin was weaker. But I, Rav Nachman said, I told them, afilu naflami achav cheresh na mesav kalei. We're still in doubt, even if she fell from the brother who was a cheresh. And by the way, he's not saying because the issue of which one he preferred is moot. No, that really is the issue. But we still don't know which one he preferred. Maybe he prefers this young girl who in a few years will be an adult and be able to take care of him, whatever. So how do we solve the problem of the ktana and the cheresh? So the first thing you do is your miyabem, the chereshet. Take the chereshet. Remember, there's one man has two wives, one chereshet, one ktana. He dies; they both fall to the brother. Right? He takes the chereshet, marries her, and then divorces her. And the ktana, we wait until she becomes of age, and then she has to give chalitza. Good. So now take a look at Rashi. Kitzat takanatan. The ktana v'chereshet. Hoi v'ein ha'chad poteret sarata, because one does not release the other. The chereshet la bar chalitza. We already said that you can't give that the chereshet can't do chalitza. The nebuk tavari ba chalitza. Right? We can't say both of them get chalitza. V'imiyavim la. But if he does yibum on the chereshet, the chalitz the ktana likshetagdil, when the ktana becomes of age, she does chalitza. Mifsala kamaita alei. Then the chereshet suddenly becomes pasul to him. Why? To come lay below yivnet, because once he's given chalitza to the ktana, which may be the real chalitza, then he's already violating eshtachiv, because chereshet is now the valav of lo yivneh, right? Kevin shelo bana shuv lo yivneh. Once he gives proper chalitza, he can't be. So therefore, he has to marry the chereshet, and sometime before the ktana becomes of age, he has to divorce her. We would assume immediately, but in any case, so now, all right, good. So now, Amar Rav Chista, Shma mina kasava Rav. So Rav gave this solution to the problem. Koneis chereshet motziyah begeret ktanat amtiran tagdil tachlotz. Rav Chista shvamina kusavar Rav. So Rav must hold chereshet kniyah umishuyeret, that the chereshet There is a kinyan, which is unquestionably a kinyan, and it's a partial kinyan, a kinyan with some gaps in it. Ketana, knuya v'ena knuya. On the other hand, a ketana is either totally knuya or not knuya at all. This sounds like a very latter-day kind of approach to conceptual approach, but we do find this in the Gemara. That conceptually, when a man marries a chereshet, the kiddushin are weak kiddushin, but certainly there. Wei ketana, there may be either kiddushin which are full or else no kiddushin at all. And we don't know. Why? The assumption here is that one of them has to be one and the other has to be the other. So because they can't both be the same, because if they're the same, then the chalitz of one would exempt the other. So it has to be that one of them is partial and the other one is questionable. So it must be that the chereshet is partial. Why? If you think the opposite, that the chereshet is the one who may be totally knuya and maybe not at all, ketana knuya mashiach, and the ketana is the one who has partial kiddushin. So then why does he marry the Cheresh and then have to divorce her? Let her stay with him either way. Why? Because if the Cheresh really is Knuya to him, she's the first one, is Miyabim, that's fine, the Ketana really is exempt. If she really wasn't Knuya at all, then she's some outsider, and he can marry her as an outsider. She wasn't really married to the brother. So now you're going to argue the same thing backwards. So why does the Ketana wait until she becomes older and do Chalitza? Tetiv Gabe, let her stay with him. I Knuyahi, because you said the Ketana must be or totally Knuya or not. If she's really Knuyahi, she's the proper one. Ilav Knuyahi, Nochrit of Almahi, she's an outsider, so again she could be in. So no, Imken Cheresh Bamet Tepok. But if that's the case, then there's no way for the Cheresh to leave. The only solution here is for the Chereshet to become married and then get a divorce. She can't do Chalitza, so the only way is for her to become married and then get a divorce. Now, Amar Rav Sheshet, Achanam Mistabra, it must be that way. Could it come a tire? So Rav Chista alibed a Rav, as Rav Chista explained on behalf of Rav. Tanya, Shnei Achin Nesuin, Shtei Achayot Yitomot. You got two brothers married to two sisters who are Ketanot Yitomot. Again, Kiddushei Ketana. Ketana v'Chereshet, or... And one of them is a ketana. Sorry, one of them is a ketana. The other one is older, but she's a cheresh. Good. So now, meit bala shel ketana, if the husband, the brother who is married to the ketana, dies, so now the brother who's married to the chereshet is now the yavam. Chereshet yotza beget. He has to divorce the chereshet. Ketana tamtina shtagdil v'tachlots, and the ketana has to come of age, and then he does chalitza. Meit bala shel chereshet. If the husband of the Chereshet dies, which means the husband of the Ketana now has her fall to him, Ketana yotza beget, the Ketana leaves beget, but Chereshet asura liolam, and the Chereshet can never marry him. V'im ba'al ha-Chereshet, if he does have bia with her, which is inappropriate, notem la get v'hutra, then he can give her a get, and she's out, she's free. So, Iyamar pishtama Chereshet. So this will only work if we accept the previous explanation that we supposed in the name of Rav, that a chereshet is a partial vaday kiddushin. Tana knuya v'ena knuya. Tana is either fully or none at all. That's why when he has bia with the chereshet, then when the siyavam has bia with the chereshet, then he can give her a get. I'll say either way, if the Ketana really was Knuya, then this girl is exempt in any ways because she's the sister of his wife. If she's not Knuya, then Shaper Miyavim. Then the Yibum is fine. But if you say that the Chereshet is the one with the perhaps total, perhaps none at all Kiddushin, and the Ketana is the one who has the Vadai partial Kiddushin, once he has bia with the chereshet, why does he have to give her a get? It's a bia psula. Bia psula lo patra. Right? A bia psula doesn't exempt anybody. All right? So she still has a zika. The get's not going to help. So the answer is hamani Rav Nechemya. It's Rav Nechemya d'amar bia psula poteret mechalitza. Bia psula does exempt from chalitza, and therefore, and we said this in the fifth parak, and therefore. Indeed, here, it could work either way. But it can't be Rav Nechemya, because look at the Seifa.
The man is married to two yitomot. Let's say the Yavam had been with both of them. Or another brother had with the Chereshet. They're both asked to him. So, what do you do? Same solution we've had. So, if you say that the Tana, the Chereshet is partial, the Tana is Suffolk, Rabbanan he, and it's all according to the Rabbanan, Mishamachit, Tavdinach, Tavdil, Tachlots. That's why we say the Ktana has to wait until she's of age and give Chalitza. The Makarim will boil Chereshet Bereshet, because maybe he'll have Bia with the Chereshet first. Bia the Ktana, Bia Psula, and then the Bia with the Ktana becomes a Bia Psula. Yamar Rabbin Chemya, but according to Rabbin Chemya, Amar Bia Psula Patra. Bia Psula does exempt her. Shramina Rabbanan he, Mishramina. It must be that that entire statement is Rabbanan, it can't be Rabbin Chemya, and therefore, it must be that that's a proof for Rav's position that the position we're ascribing to Rav, which is that the Chereshet has a Vadai Kinyan, which is partial, and the Ktana is Safek, either full Kinyan or none. Ravashi Mereshet Namishvam Nad Rabbanan Hi. He says, you know what? You could prove that it's the Rabbanan, even from the Resha. The Ktana in Baal HaChereshet Noten Laget V'Hutra. The Lo Ktana in Baal HaKtana Noten Laget V'Hutra. Because it said that if he has Bia with the Chereshet, he gives her a get, and it doesn't say if he has bia with a ktana, he can give her a get. Now, he could have bia with a ktana, it's still bia psula, but if it's from a chemi, that should pater also. In shumhalo area, that doesn't prove anything. Chereshet doesn't have any solution to free her, except for doing this isser. So if the guy does violate the isser, so we happen to mention, then he can give her a get, and she's free. So the ktani takanta di isura. Ktana di la takanta de teira. But a Ktana who does have a way out, which is to wait until she's of age and give Chalitza, Otani Takanta Di Surah. Therefore, the Tana is not going to mention the Takanta Di Surah. In other words, what we ended up saying was that that statement is all Rabbanan. And since it's all Rabbanan, Bia Psula won't work. And therefore, it must be that the Chereshet really is partially Knuya, and the Ktana is either fully or not at all. And our attempted proof to say, you see that we're not entertaining Bia Psula, because it's not Rav Nachemya, because we see we didn't give that as advice for the Ktana, Ravashi says that's not, sorry, that's Ravashi's attempt. He said that, the Gemara says that's not a proof, because there we wouldn't want to give advice. That's the advice of an Isser when a Heter is possible. In any case, we have accomplished our goal of reaching the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Aleph, Amud Aleph at the bottom, and Amir Tzashem in the next podcast, we will go to the top of Kuf Yud Bet Amud Bet, and finish Perek Shloshah Asar, Perek Beit Shammai. Everybody should have a wonderful day.